Good morning. Happy Wednesday. We're counting down the days. You're going to make it. I guarantee it. Hey, I want to introduce two people to you this morning, and we're going to do a little guessing game, all right? One of these folks here is a Hope nursing major and a senior. Okay. And the other person is not, okay? One of these people has been married for 24 years, has four children, and the other has not. Okay? One of the people here, I didn't make this up, one of the people here has hair, the other does not. All right, here's the last clue. One of these people here had a heart transplant at 8 years old. The other was part of the medical team at Mayo Clinic that was a part of this surgery, of her surgery. Have I given it away now? Okay. Hey, I want to introduce to you senior Stephanie Pentuck, who is a nursing major. You can love on her, nursing folks. They were waiting for that, I could tell. The other is Dr. Michael Ackerman, who is part of the Mayo Clinic medical team, and this is his first time at Hope College, so will you welcome Dr. Ackerman? All right, settle in, because you are about to hear a great God story. Stephanie, 8 years old. You're a little girl. Take us back. What was going on in your life at 8 years old?
Well, when I was eight, it was the summer of 1999, and I was a very healthy, normal, active girl. And all of a sudden, I got a stomach ache, and we weren't sure what it was, so we went to the doctor, and I was diagnosed with dilated cardiomyopathy, which is just a virus that kind of randomly attacked my heart, and it made my heart grow 2.5 times the size it was supposed to be. So it was kind of pushing on my other organs, which was causing the pain. And with this disease, 1/3 get better, 1/3 get worse, and 1/3 stay the same. So we were just kind of praying that I'd be 1/3 that gets better.
Yeah.
And so we went home for the summer, and I just kind of started to get worse and worse. And by a series of just miraculous events, I made it to the Mayo Clinic on September 8th, and...
Okay, don't rush so
okay.
Fast. So, that's too fast, Stephanie. So, it got worse, which then led you to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, it continues to get worse.
Right.
To the point of... really some concern within your family of the possibility of death.
Right.
Talk more.
So we got to Mayo on September 8th, and they kind of did the whole workup, did all the tests, ran them over and over again, and things weren't looking better, and I was hooked up to a ton of meds. And I had this whole medical team working with me, and they were really great. And on September 11th, it was kind of the day that everything started to fail the most. And the doctors called my parents into a conference room and just said, you know, it might be time to call on the family to come say goodbye and just tell Stephanie that you love her. And it's not looking good, but we'll still put her on the transplant list if you're okay with that. And they were. And so the doctors left that conference room and gave my parents a little time to recuperate, and after crying, they decided that it's in God's hands and just gave it up to the Lord, and...
Very good. Mm-hmm. Stop. Okay. So, it's not looking good, and called the parents in saying, say your last goodbyes to Stephanie.
Right.
One of the members of that medical team is a young rookie by the name of Dr. Michael Ackerman.
Yes.
Michael, tell us your involvement in this. So, here's this family you meet. you start, fill in the rest of the story.
Well, I was the rookie. So for those of you who are in the medical track, you know that there's the totem pole. I was at the bottom. I was just the one to take care of Stephanie. I was the admitting trainee in the intensive care unit. And say I was the dial turner staying up all night to adjust the medicines. And you know, the beauty of part of that is, how many of you feel like you might be on the bottom of the totem pole working your way up right now? Yeah. In fact, except for the front row, except for the front row, how many of you even know who I am? See, yeah. I'm a United States population nobody. But in God's economy, I was an eternal somebody. And so are you. And I had a divine appointment. I had a different kind of doctor's appointment with Stephanie, and it was a divine appointment. The moment I saw Stephanie, and you know her, but at 8 years old, she was just the same. She just exuded the sweet, sweet fragrance of Jesus. Fell in love with her. I had children that age, and so Stephanie and I just immediately connected and did everything that I could in my power to try to keep her alive, to see if we could keep her long enough until a heart became available.
And then, perfect setup. Thanks, Michael. So, we didn't even practice this. I love it. So, at that point, it's desperate, but Michael, and I'm not going to give the long version because we want to hear the rest of the story. Michael, by God's grace, made an adjustment on kind of the medication that Stephanie was on that helped her live for another 2 days. It got to a point within 2 days, by God's grace, they found a heart available. Michael, tell a little about the story of the heart down in Missouri.
Yeah, so we received a call, and our transplant surgeon, Dr. Duraney, met with the family, said, we've got a call, there's a heart, are you ready, are you willing? If it looks like the heart will be acceptable in terms of fitness for Stephanie, and it was a go. And so implanted the heart 2 days later, and by the next morning, she was pink and on her way back. And again, 2 days later, those of you who know something, that's not how it happens. We have a little boy on the list right now, and he's been on a heart-lung bypass machine for 3 months now, waiting for a heart to come available. So again, in his sovereign grace, he chose for that heart to become available to fit Stephanie and for Stephanie to fit it.
Yeah. Tell us about the little boy's heart who saved Stephanie.
What? Yeah, so a little Oliver, we knew that afterwards who he was after the families connected, was in a bike accident, bicycle into the intersection, and happened to be an ambulance just a few cars behind it, so was able to keep him on life support to sustain his organs. And so many of his organs went to 5 different people, including eyesight to 2 individuals. And so obviously in that way, Oliver lives on here. He obviously lives on eternally with our Savior. So that's Oliver's part.
Yeah. Now, there's a special connection that I want them to hear about the two of you. So you did connect right away. So on the night that Stephanie, or the morning that Stephanie's heading into surgery, here comes Dr. Ackerman to pray. What's he pray with you?
Well, he knew our family's faith, so he felt comfortable coming in, and it was just me and him in the room, and we prayed together. Literally, I was being wheeled out for surgery, and just a calming, may the peace of Christ be with you prayer. And after that, I kind of looked at him and I said.
But he said something else to you. Yes. He said, "Amen."
Amen.
And then, Michael. Then what? Well, I'm directing this conversation, and I like it.
Well, he didn't allow Stephanie to say when, after the amen, she said, "Dr. Mike, am I going to live?" And I looked at her and I said, "Oh, this was right out of, I think it's the 3rd year nursing class." So yeah. You turn to that page, and I said, "Stephanie, of course you are. And not only are you going to live, but I'll be dancing with you at your prom." And 10 years later.
10 years later, what happened, Steph?
It was a great dance.
10 years later, I was at my prom, not expecting anything at all, and I feel this tap on my shoulder, and I turn around, and I see Dr. Ackerman standing there with his corsage, and he says, "May I have this dance?" And I was shaking in the neck on the floor. And of course, we danced to one song.
What'd you dance to?
"God Bless the Broken Road" by Rascal Flatts.
Oh, come on. Give me that.
It was pretty
orchestrated.
I know.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's great. Right. That's great. That's a wonderful story, and the story continues. So how, as you look back at it, both of you, how did your faith, and where did you see God in all the midst of this? Steph?
Well, I'd always been a Christian my whole life, but I think just feeling God's peace with me and his presence, it's kind of hard to explain, but not like a physical presence, but just this overwhelming, calming presence that couldn't be anything but God, really strengthened that faith. And I feel blessed that I was able to have this encounter with him in this one-on-one. I could just feel his love, so that's there's no doubt in my mind, and I can't, so I'm here to worship him.
Yeah, God's faithfulness in your life. Michael, how did your faith get increased through all this journey?
Well, it's all God, and it's all good. And it was one of those things where we just had a tremendous peace. We could feel his presence. We could sense his love. And I would just encourage all of you as you go out, you're wrapping up finals. You can be at the bottom of the totem pole, but in God's economy, we're a member of the royal priesthood. You could have no skill. I really didn't have much skill when I was taking care of Stephanie. And yet, what I did have was words. We all have words. So I would just say we should be, as we tried to be then, didn't know what words to say. These probably weren't mine. Maybe those were divinely placed. Why would you mention prom to an 8-year-old anyway?
Exactly.
So I'm not sure that was well thought out.
I love God's humor. I do. They don't train you in medical school to say those things. No.
But you know what? You and I are trained as believers in Christ is to breathe life into people. You know, there are life breathers and there are life suckers, aren't there? And breathe, speak that word.
I want to be a life giver, not a life sucker.
You know, breathe life into people with our words. Give a word of hope, a word of encouragement. Be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in us, but do so with meekness and fear. We all have words, and we have his words that we can breathe out and breathe into people.
Love it. But here's the final word. We have also, we can give the gift of life. And this whole thing, Steph, you got to wrap it up in about a minute. So why did you want to bring Dr. Ackerman in besides bearing testimony to God's faithfulness in your life? It's more than that. Share real quick.
Well, I'm working with Nurses Christian Fellowship and Kelly, and just we had this dream to put on a organ donation event that kind of just informs people about it. And I don't know if people realize how big it can be. One person can save 8 lives, and you can live a normal life after a transplant. So we just wanted to spread the word of that and God's grace. And
that event is tonight.
Yes, that's
Dr.
tonight.
Ackerman is going to speak, and also a physician from Grand Rapids, Spectrum, will be there. You need to hear the more fuller story of Stephanie and Dr. Ackerman, and they're going to share again about the great gift of organ donation and what that can be. 7:00 tonight at Winant's in Graves Auditorium. 7:00. You got to get the larger, richer story. So final thing, Steph. So I'm going to have you pray. You weren't prepared for this.
Oh, man, was it?
I don't care. You're going to pray us out. And we're going to go about our day. And Dr. Ackerman and I are going to get real close to you. And we're going to hold your hand. And we're going to pray out.
All right. God, thank you for bringing us all together today. And just give us that peace and strength as we make it through these last couple weeks. And just shine your light to these students and help us to get through our exams and everything that's ahead of us in life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Go in peace.